Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right, the revolving door at Channel Q continues. John Duran has left the building and enter lesbian number four.
Are you lesbian number four?
I don't know. I'm just making that up. Oh, well. I just feel like there's a few other ones around that come before me. I'm Allie Johnson. This is Drop the Subject. And Jared Hill, you're back.
I'm here.
I've arrived officially.
I'm back. Yes, I'm back.
Okay, great.
Yes, yes. I'll be here on Monday, too.
Yay! Great. Well, just to catch you up, we still have no sound.
I was going
to
say, what's been going on? Anything crazy? Huh?
No. We can't talk about that.
So I called Allie on Tuesday afternoon, and I was like, hey, just checking in. What's going on? And you're like, nothing really. Well, this and then that. And I was like, I'm gone for 2 weeks, and the whole thing goes to bot.
Yeah, not much is going on. Oh, wait, we have had no internet the all week long and no email. But the good news is that there have been no mixed emotions emails this week, so it's been
that
nice.
Just means there's going to be a flood of them next week.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, just to catch up.
Yeah, they're just backlogged.
Exactly.
But you know what? It was a really nice way to start the day today. We came in early, and we had one of those all-staff meetings where all the station heads talk about how their stations are doing. It's a very nice rah-rah-rah for the company. And then we spent some time making sandwiches for the homeless.
Yes.
And it was a very nice experience.
So apparently there's an organization called #LunchBag, and they have been doing this for 7 years. I was really kind of wowed by his story. They said that their organization started on Christmas when he and some friends wanted to do something good, but there was like everything was closed and booked up, so they couldn't. So they started making food to take over to the homeless. And over the course of 7 years, this has grown into something where they do it in 150 cities around the world.
Yeah, and they do it every single month.
It's crazy.
It's crazy to think that every time the holidays come around, the homeless are like, okay, there's so much food, but what about the other?
You're like, yeah, this would be really great in frickin' August.
363 days of the year. Like, I get a meal on Thanksgiving and I get a meal on Christmas, thanks to everybody having a conscience.
Yeah.
But then you think about the rest of the year when people don't think about it. So it was nice to do it before the holidays hit.
In a random September, September.
Random Friday the 13th. And they had vats of turkey. We made our own sandwiches. And all I could think while I was making them was, I am starving.
Not actually starving, though.
No, not actually starving. And then I felt bad for being starving and wanting the sandwich that I was making to donate to somebody who actually needed it.
Yeah, point taken.
Then I came downstairs to start getting ready for the show, went back upstairs because I was hungry, and they had the lunch for everybody was the sandwiches.
Yeah, so they made it so that we packed up a bunch of lunch bags. What I also loved about the lunch bags is that every one of them has a love note in it that has like a kind note to say something positive.
Now, you were in the note writing section. Did you hand write the notes?
Yeah.
So you came up with whatever you wanted.
Absolutely, yeah. They have like some examples of what to do, and then you can write whatever you want. So
What did you write?
I wrote like cool things like, you know, keep going. Someone's rooting for you. I always write love you on something because I feel like most people don't hear I love you every day.
I thought you were going to go like Valentine's Hearts route.
Be mine.
You have a secret crush.
I think if you're like homeless, you're like, be mine, really? Like this was your inspiration for me. So I just wrote notes like that all had something like positive. I always, my motto is always keep going. So I would often write that. Or, you know, believing yourself no matter what anyone says, even you. Because I think sometimes we're our worst critics and, like, we say the worst things about ourselves. So,
well, I'm really glad you were in the right note writing section. I don't think I should have been there.
Well, for more information,
I would have been
though,
like, oh, I hope this helps.
Have a good day? Question mark?
Yeah. I hope you enjoy this because I didn't get to eat it. It looks delicious.
Oh, no. I mean,
I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say those things.
You probably, they're probably not the best thing to say, but not the worst thing you can say.
Yeah, yeah.
But for more information on #LunchBag, you can go check out their website at #LunchBag.org. #LunchBag.org.
All right. Well, we have a very exciting show for you. We, of course, still have audio problems today, and we won't be able to play some of the debate coverage, but we have plenty to talk about. There was a lot of radio mentions at the debates last night, so that was exciting to listen to. And in studio, we have an artist by the name of Samantha Sidley, who is a lesbian jazz artist, and she has a new album that's dropping today. And Foo Fighters are big fans of hers. They Instagrammed her single, and she's been doing very well, very up and coming. And She Likes Girls, that is the title of her song, her jazz song. It's a jazz jam. I love it. So we're going to get to that. And what the hell have you been up to since I have seen you? You said that you're obsessed with a new show that you're late to the game on, and you wouldn't tell me what it was, and now I must guess.
Okay, so Justin gave me the finger, so that means we have 1 minute left. I'll be quick about this. So I did not know about this. A friend of mine told me this week about this show called Are You the One on MTV. Are you familiar with this, either one of you?
Nope.
Okay, so it's a dating show. They pair up 16 people in a house, and matchmakers have put them all in the house. And there's a perfect match for you in the house. You have to figure out who the person is, right? And if everyone figures out the perfect matches, there's $1 million prize. What they did on this most recent season that's ending right now, so I'm super late to the game, but every one of the 16 people in the house is bisexual, and like some of them are gender fluid, so it could be any one of the 15 people.
Throwing a wrench in the system.
Exactly.
Bisexuals, you instantly double your chances.
Exactly. So like usually it's 8 guys and 8 women, but this time it is still 8 guys and 8 women, but everyone's bisexual, so everyone is like into everyone. Everyone could be into everyone. And finding your perfect match is twice as hard because you don't know if it's a guy, if it's a girl. You don't know, like, what it is. There's a trans woman. There's a gender nonconforming guy. There's, like, it's just
so
like,
it's very queer.
Yes, it's very queer. It's so interesting. And
do
like
they
said,
do little competitions?
They do competitions.
Like, all right, eat all these spiders and then figure out your
each
matches.
Each week they have a thing called the Truth Booth where they all vote on a couple to send in, like, a couple that's like feeling each other, and they will tell them if they are the right match or not. If they are the right match, they get pulled out of the house, but if they aren't, they have to go back and into the house with this person that they're semi in love with and realize, like, this is not my match. I have to figure out who the other person is.
Oh man, back to the drawing board.
It's so interesting, and like, I'm not really into dating shows that much anymore, but this show has captivated me.
A bunch of people in one house shows.
Exactly. But it's like The Real World meets The Bachelorette. And like
meets queer super as folk. Queer.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really great.
Interesting.
So well, I'm loving that. You guys can check out Are You the One? It's on MTV. It's on your on demand or whatever. I'm like totally hooked on it.
But I can't wait for the next season when they have 15 people and a horse.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Okay, yep. Drop the subject with Allie Johnson and Jarrett Hill, and we are talking all things Democratic debate last night. And I'm looking at a picture of all of the candidates who are on stage, and I did not realize that Julian Castro was so teensy.
Yeah, him and Pete Buttigieg, I think, are a lot smaller than people recognize. And like when you put Pete Buttigieg next to, or Julian Castro, next to like Beto O'Rourke, who's like a taller
guy.
Yeah,
Beto O'Rourke is tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. You watched everything, of course. You live tweet during the entire thing. What were your impressions?
So coming right out the gate, I thought Andrew Yang, use your words, Jarrett. Andrew Yang likes to pull the pin out of a grenade and throw it right into the middle of a conversation. And so in opening...
And then he throws his hands up and he's like, What? What's going on? He's like kind of an Asian brah.
Yeah, exactly. And so he, in his opening statement, he used that opportunity to push this idea about democracy dollars that he's been talking... I believe that's what he's calling it, democracy dollars. Andrew Yang has this idea for when he's president, and he wants to use the American capital basically to reinvest in people. And so that would look like giving people $1,000 a month to be able to reinvigorate the economy. If you think about that, that's $12,000 a month in your pocket that you don't have. So he took that and made it an initiative that he wants to do during his campaign. He's going to choose 10 people and give them $1,000 a month as like a pilot program, also kind of a gimmick.
Well, yeah, we said yesterday when we were talking about the debate preview that he announced he was going to do something on a presidential stage that nobody else had done. A lot of us thought that it would be smoke weed. This was a
Can
lot better than
if,
that.
Like, if federal agents like came and pulled him off the stage because they're in Texas where it's not legal.
I feel like he would be the candidate though who would just be like, "F it," like on stage live. He'd just be like, "You know what?" He'd like he's already got no tie. I feel like he would just take his pants off and be like, "Screw you, government," or something like that.
I feel like he did that, and it was immediately a moment where I thought his website's about to crash. Well, you know they're ready for this. Obviously, they know he's going to do this. So I thought it was like a great moment. I don't know like how much of a needle it moves, but I thought it was an interesting way for him to be able to like talk about this $1,000 a month thing that he's been talking about for, you know, months now.
Well, and I feel like with a lot of these debates, they keep going, oh yeah, and the people who aren't polling so well, it's this is their chance. Like they have to do something to make a splash. They have to make a splash. And then the next day you're like, oh, okay, yeah, nothing. They didn't really make a splash. There wasn't really anything happening.
See,
so this is definitely a splash.
Yeah.
I also think that what I saw last night was there was a lot of radio love out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Joe Biden, and we can talk about this a little later, but he mentioned how people need to be teaching their kids to listen to the radio and play a record player every night. So that was a great, I mean, radio mention.
Joe Biden, I was just like, every time he, most of the times when he would talk, I'd just be like, do you hear you? Do you hear you? Like, what are you?
And I think the answer is no.
He's just kind of exhausted.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, but the reason I brought it up was because doing a big giveaway is also very radio thing to do.
Oh yeah,
you know, sure. Andrew Yang standing on stage and being like, "I am giving away $120,000 to 10 lucky families." Yeah, and
call
I was
10.
Like, "Man, there's a lot of radio type stuff on
That's
the
so
stage."
Funny. I didn't think about it that way. Yeah, absolutely. No, it was definitely a big giveaway moment.
Yeah,
that you definitely do during sweeps or something in television.
People can go to his website they have to write some kind of a letter or something to explain why they think they'd be a great candidate to get the money, and then he'll pick 10 families and give them the thousand, which he'll do that for a year. So even after
the campaign,
even if he drops out of the campaign, there's still going to be another 6 months or so that he's going to have to pay these people.
I think it's a really cool way to demonstrate what he wants to do for America. I don't think he's going to be president of the United States, but I do think it was an effective way to say, like, this is how this can have an impact on people's lives. I thought the person who won the debate last night was Lindsay Davis,
the moderator.
Most people don't know her name. Yeah, she's an ABC News correspondent, and I think she's a White House correspondent, if I'm not mistaken. But Lindsay Davis was asking some hard ass questions. She was asking Joe Biden a reparations question, and she like quoted him from like 30 years ago or something.
Yeah, it wasn't just being like, "What are you going to do about reparations?" It was like
she had cited
examples,
that
and
you
was...
did not believe that you should have to pay for the sins of your ancestors. And that you didn't think that was something that was important, and you only want to pay for blah, 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 blah. And like, do you stand by that now? And it was like, I was sitting at home and I literally sat up on my couch like, oh my God. And Joe Biden, like,
his
God
answer to
him.
That was the worst of all of them, because this was
Allie,
like...
He talked about like three different things that had nothing to do with what she was talking about.
No, and he did that classic, when you don't really know what you're talking about, now look. That's what you do.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm just kind of a ramp. You know what? Now look, education is a big problem. And you're like, what? Why is he talking about education? And you're like, okay, wait, hold on. Maybe this is related. You're kind of like following him through. And then he's like, you know, and then the providers, they have to teach their kids this stuff. You know, listen to the radio.
Did you study public speaking in school?
Like, no.
We both talk for a living, right? There are little things that you can do to buy yourself time. And they're always like... Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
The situation here, and it's always like
something
with long pauses.
I found so interesting like that
one of the most important things that we should really talk about here.
Now look.
Exactly. Like, he was doing those kinds of things, and it was just like,
you just expected a nurse to walk up on stage and be like, "Honey, where's your family? Come on. Come on, do you want to sit in your chair?
You have to take
those
pills
with food. No, just stupid chair.
With food. You have to take that with food.
Excuse me.
More of the debate.
Just gum it.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right, we're breaking down the Democratic debates from last night, and it was nice to see it all in one night. You know, we don't have to commit to two evenings of talking about the same topics and having different people yell at each other. It was all in one night. There was half the amount of podiums. That was nice. And I know you said that you think that the winner of the debate was Lindsay Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I think the winner of the debate was radio. because radio got mentions. You know, a lot of people are maybe Googling it for the first time, trying to figure out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to the radio got mentioned. Record players got mentioned. There was a big $120,000 giveaway. By the way, later on in the show, we're going to teach you how you can win a trip to Vegas and VIP tickets to see the Life is Beautiful Festival with a hotel stay included, speaking of giveaways. But I think that the winner was radio, and I think that the loser was Bernie Sanders' microphone. Because listen, that thing got spat on all night long.
Right out the gate, Bernie Sanders was screaming.
He was screaming on, like, it was one of those little tiny Bob Barker microphones. So it's not very big, and he was putting his mouth, it's like, you know when you meet somebody who is holding a microphone for the first time and they put their mouth all over it and you're like,
they're talking
why?
Like this.
Yeah, and
it?
You're like, why are you doing that? You don't need to slobber all over the microphone. He was literally like, it was in his mouth, I think, a couple of times.
Well, so as you say that, I feel for the audio people because I don't think people notice this at home. I think media people will recognize it. All of them are double mic'd, right? So they're mic'd on the podium, but they also wear a lapel mic. And I just think about like the audio engineer who has to like,
he's like, oh God,
who has to like pull the
crackling
headphone off,
and be
like
stop.
Oh Jesus,
and
shut
turn
up.
Him down every time he's speaking.
I'm like, does he wake up like that in the morning? Good morning.
Yeah.
How are you?
Well, you know how old men get that thing sometimes where when they get to be a certain age, it sounds like they always have saliva stuck in their mouth. He's always like that. He's like, and you're like, oh God, can someone please give this guy a swill of water? Just a swill.
It's just it's so annoying. I think also, though, looking at just like from the night, I think Elizabeth Warren continues to show us like how strong of a candidate she is. And I had an epiphany last night in the home stretch of the debate last night when she was talking about having been a public school teacher. And she mentioned that she used to be a special needs teacher. And like,
light
it was
bulb.
Like the light bulb, the heavens opened. And I was like, that's what it is about Elizabeth Warren. And I tweeted last night, it was actually the tweet that got retweeted the most last night, was like, that's what it is about Elizabeth Warren. She is, she's always had this energy that's hyper-patient, gentle, and a passionate care for whatever it is she's working on, doing, or talking about. She always talks like someone who's listened a lot.
Which I totally agree with you. And that is what America needs right now.
Oh my God.
Is a really, really great special needs teacher.
Absolutely.
Who can sit down with us all in one big circle. We can play Duck, Duck, Goose. We can just go back to the basics and she can make us feel warm and fuzzy and listened to.
Yeah.
Because this country has special needs.
This country has needs that are definitely special. And we have a president who is definitely special. And I think about how debates between the two of them, competing campaigns, if you will. I just had a hiccup and I was just really trying to talk through it. I think like the two of them having to like have conversation on a debate stage, I think it'd be really interesting to see that. Because with Hillary Clinton, I don't think that Hillary Clinton had like the benefit of being a woman in a lot of ways, like some women have. Because there's a benefit on the stage and then there's still like this liability that's built in misogyny. I think Elizabeth Warren on a debate stage against Donald Trump could be very interesting to watch.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think that there were, just to cap it all off, there were some jokes last night as well. I really appreciated that some of these candidates are trying to get funny. I did learn that if you're not a comedian and you don't have a background in comedy, difficult to deliver jokes.
Yeah.
I know Andrew Yang made a joke about how he's Asian, so he knows a lot of doctors. And it was the same delivery as every other answer to his questions. He was just like, you know, I'm Asian, so I know a lot of doctors. So here's what's going on. And everyone was like, what? What?
Yeah.
Is that a joke that you're making? Because it's you gotta pause for laughter. Everyone knows that.
It's just like, oh, okay, we get it, Andrew. Like, okay, you're Asian. Okay, sure, dude. Like, you know, like, you can only pull that joke so many different times, and it never really lands. So.
I think Kamala Harris tried to make that little Wizard of Oz joke,
She made
too.
A Wizard of Oz joke that, you know, she thought was hilarious.
Yeah, she paused for
cackled,
laughter,
yeah.
And there wasn't any.
There was a little bit, but I was like,
and
oh,
someone,
she is proud of herself.
There was a pause, and then someone went, okay.
Exactly. I think it was one of the moderators, yeah. when we come back, Allie's got the headlines, and so do I. It's a tag team, News It or Lose It. You're not going to want to miss it. It's up next.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
All right, it's time to get into what is trending in this world. I did find out a few hours ago that Eddie Money has left us.
Yes, we've lost another one.
We lost another one. He has one ticket to paradise.
I see what you did there. And apparently it was a good one.
It was a good one.
A good ticket.
Yeah, 70 years
old. Well, we're assuming. We don't know where he went.
Yeah, RIP, buddy. It was some good music. I liked it. That was the social media guy.
I was like, someone just came into the studio. I was like,
you're looking at Justin going like who was that?
Who was that person? Yeah. I recognized
He's
him.
He's an attractive guy.
Oh, that's why I was asking. I was like, who is that?
It's dangerous for a guy to just walk into the studio if he forgot something.
I'm just saying, you know. He was the bartender upstairs. And I was like, yeah. Oh, you're the bartender.
He was the bartender
This
upstairs.
Is also probably a time where we're playing in the halls, so we should move on.
Ah, it's news, time it for lose news it or lose it.
That won't be awkward in the halls. Yeah. It won't be. Channel Q.
Oh, no. I forgot my clipboard in Channel Q Studio.
Exactly.
Who's going to go? All right.
This becomes a Me Too situation.
Straw.
Exactly.
All right. Should I go first or should you?
Go for it.
Okay. Here's your first headline, Jarrett. Most employees believe they can do their boss's job better than they can. Our boss is out of town.
Is this like a study?
Yeah. All right.
I love it.
Headline number two. Telephone pole says goodbye in touching farewell letter.
Lose it.
All right. And then finally, new animal study finds that rats play hide and squeak.
Rats play hide and squeak?
They play hide and seek and they squeal when they get found.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. I think you're really into that story. So.
I mean, isn't that adorable? I know you don't care about animals.
That is not true.
You hate animals.
I don't want a pet. That is not the same as I don't care about animals.
I know, but you would care about this story if you really cared about animals.
I think rats are disgusting. It's a rat. If it was like hamsters and gerbils play hide and seek, that'd
but
be cuter.
But why? Look, this little mousie is adorable. Okay. It kind of looks like it, like...
Little mousie and rats are two different things.
All right. Okay. Oh, fine. It's your turn.
All right. Here we go.
Give me that bill.
The remains of a missing man for 22 years have been found thanks to Google Earth.
Oh. Is this a murder mystery?
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. New SNL cast members already in S-Storm.
Oh, I do want to hear about this. We haven't talked about it. Some of the new additions to the SNL cast.
Yes.
Sure.
All right. Word genius, word of the day, kerfuffle.
Yeah, I know what that one is. Lose it.
What is it? Oh, you already know what it is?
Yeah, it's when you get into like, I fumbled my makeup spilled all over the place, and then now I'm bumping into everyone, and what a kerfuffle.
No, that's not right, actually.
Okay, well, then that's what it is now.
I'm kidding. That's what it is.
Right. Does it literally have what I said word for word as
yes,
the sentence?
Yes, it okay. says, as Ali Johnson once said. No, it's a chaotic scene caused by an altercation. Yeah.
And right. No one would believe that. I don't have makeup. All right, we're going to get into these stories when we get back, so don't go anywhere. This is Drop the Subject.
Drop the Subject.
Drop the Subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Allie, we're back on the radio. More Drop the Subject. I'm Jared Hill. That's Allison Johnson. We are back live, and it is time for News It or Lose It. All right, Allie. You got the first headline, so you want to take the first story?
Shall I begin? All right. A lot of employees seem to think, according to new research, that they can do their boss's job better than they can. I know you walk into work every day and you're like, oh my gosh, the boss, am I right? You
these freaking morons.
Fun water cooler conversation, but it's always easy to Monday morning quarterback, right? It's always
Absolutely.
Easy in hindsight as 2020. So that's what a lot of people think. A majority of employees believe that their boss does an adequate job of handling day-to-day duties, but most think that they could do their manager's
like the
work
there,
better, according to a new survey. The Workforce Institute Incorporated is a think tank that is focused on human capital management, and they basically found that 71% of respondents gave their bosses a grade of B or better when it came to competence. However, nearly the same percentage of employees said that they could do a better job. Younger employees across the world were particularly confident that they could perform their boss's role. Are you yawning?
No, I'm just thinking to myself, like, I've been this person many a time.
Thinking that you could do a better job than your boss?
Well, like, I worked on a show. Ooh, can I say that? Yeah. Well, what is she going to do? I worked on a show where...
Ooh, I can't wait to see what she's going to do.
Well, right. I worked on a show where I had a boss who had literally no experience in the job, but she was best friends, I'll just say, with a very high person on the show. And, like, a position came up and she, you know, went for it. And they, like, put her in it. And I was like, I literally have more experience than you, and I am two levels below you.
Well, see, that's what, it's tough when you know what experience they do or don't have, and it's tough when you are older than they are as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because my, I know somebody who, their boss had less experience. Like, the person that I know had an MFA, had a degree, had a bunch of experience, and then they got to this new workplace, and they realized that their boss did not have any of those requirements and was talking to her about how to do her job better and giving her feedback on stuff that she's like, I directly know that this isn't true.
Yeah.
Like, I know based on all of my education that what
so
this person
annoying.
Is telling me is not true. But then that person, the manager, got fired, and now she is the manager.
Oh.
So then it's like, okay, if you talk about how you could do your boss's job better and you preach and preach and preach about that, then you become the boss.
Yeah, then you feel
what
like,
happens?
Right, well, you earned it.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Or you're like, oh my God, I have all this responsibility
or
now.
Or this job is so much harder than I thought it was.
And the people that are under me probably think they could do a better job than me.
Yeah.
You know?
I haven't had a whole lot of bosses that I thought were incompetent, but I've definitely had a few.
Well, it seems 73% of millennials believed this, and Gen Z employees were 70%. So millennials, I guess, a little bit more felt like they could do the job better than their bosses, but...
most of their bosses are probably millennials and probably could... Never mind. Okay, so...
Yeah.
The remains of a man missing for 22 years have been found thanks to Google Earth. It says for over two decades, William Moult's family was left with unanswered questions about his disappearance. Now they have closure, all because of a startling discovery made on Google Earth. Moult was 40 at the time, and he seemingly vanished from Palm Beach County, Florida. Obviously, Florida.
Oh,
in 1997.
It's so easy to vanish there.
Exactly. It says that evening he called his girlfriend from a bar to tell her he'd be home soon. Shortly afterward, he was seen leaving the bar alone and getting into his vehicle. He reportedly did not appear intoxicated. That night 22 years ago was the last time anyone saw him alive. But recently, a previous resident of a neighborhood in Wellington, Florida, was looking at a neighborhood on Google Earth when they noticed something in the water. According to the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, in the image from Google Earth, you can see what appears to be a car in a retention pond that is flanked by homes.
Oh, crash car into the water.
It says the former resident, who was not identified by police, then contacted a current resident who lives adjacent to the submerged object. Bada boom, bada bing, they found the man.
Ooh, that is a tough door to open.
I know,
after
right?
22 years.
Underwater?
You know, it's like when you leave your lunch in your backpack like 3 weeks.
Let me stop
and
here.
Then you're afraid to open it.
Yeah, there's something in my fridge right now that I'm like, not today.
I'm just like, you know what? Eventually just got to throw the whole container out.
Listen, throwing out the whole fridge. So.
Just throw out the whole fridge. Well, it's interesting, though, that they didn't find him before this. It seems like if you can see it from Google Earth...
Someone should have been able
someone,
to see it.
Someone, yeah. Well, like, was there not like a search party?
They said it was in a pond, so, like, I wonder if they even, like, thought to look there. I don't know. That's weird. But, yeah.
But, like, if the car's there, a road must be nearby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if they're looking for the road and they're trying to find where his car could have gone off the road, you
That's
would think
crazy.
That a search party would have found that, or they would have gotten a damn dog to sniff it out.
Something. I don't know, but they didn't.
Mm.
22 years later.
22 they found years him. Later, they found him.
So, okay. We got to get through these two things really quickly. So a video has surfaced of a new SNL cast member using an Asian slur on the same day the show cast its first Asian American cast member, which is kind of ridiculous. Shane
which
Gillis. Shane Gillis said late Thursday that it is never his intention to hurt anyone, but that he does not aim to push, that he does always aim to push boundaries. Shane is the new member of the cast of SNL alongside their first.
Oh, he's new. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking at his picture. I was like, I don't remember. Does he do Weekend Update? Because I don't recognize him.
No. He's the new guy. And he was making racial and homophobic slurs in this video that came out yesterday. You know, like I said, the day after they were, you know, really celebrated at SNL for hiring their first Asian cast member, Bowen Yang, who's gay and Asian. But, like, it's also 2019. This is the 45th season of SNL. And they're
is
hiring
he
their
the first Asian?
First
the
Asian
first
person.
One?
Yeah. And, like, there's one black woman on SNL now because Leslie Jones just left.
Yeah.
Like, their diversity problems are myriad.
Well, and they have, yeah. I mean, and it's like, did they hire Bowen Yang because they wanted to hire Bowen Yang in the first place,
well,
or are they doing it because Andrew Yang is now on the news?
I mean, maybe. But he was also a writer on the season, on the show last season, and then they've like upgraded him to being a cast member.
And this guy, I'm looking at this picture of Shane Gillis, ginger, isn't he?
He looks
gingery.
He has gingery skin, but I think his hair is pretty dark.
He has gingery skin.
You know, like the skin tone that a ginger generally has.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Also, we have to pull in this breaking headline. Felicity Huffman in the college cheating scandal has been sentenced to 14 days in prison.
Yeah, 14 days, two whole weeks, and she might get out tomorrow if she's on good behavior.
I mean, mind you, Lori Loughlin is probably going to really
I cannot
it.
Wait for her sentencing.
Days.
And I know that we have to go, but just very quickly, they did a study. Scientists, they cracked the case. If you've been wondering if rats play hide and seek, they do.
What?
Okay? They do.
The age-old question?
Wild and domesticated animals. You know, so like, oh, is that true? And you're like, does a rat play hide and seek? And they're like, I don't know. Now they finally know. Wild and domestic animals have been known to play, but neuroscientists from Berlin's Humboldt University wanted to know more about the topic after hearing from pet owners, and they figured out that rats engage in hide-and-go-seek, and then when they find each other, they squeak with joy.
Oh, what a great time.
What a great visual. Mm. What a time to be alive.
Oh, no, are we out of time?
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right, drop this. Oh, sorry. Oh my gosh, I took your spotlight. I'm sorry,
no, it's
Jared.
It's fine, Ellie. It's fine.
Okay, all right. You've been gone.
I have been gone for a while. Welcome back to Drop the Subject, Ellie.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, welcome back. We are live in our studio right now. We are joined by a guest who we're very excited to talk to. Her name is Samantha Sidley. Welcome, Samantha.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. Samantha is a jazz musician. Allie's excited because you're a lesbian jazz musician.
That's right.
And your new song, which we're going to play in a few minutes, is all about you being a big les.
Yep.
Loving
it's called...
the ladies.
Have you ever thought to write a song called The Big Les? Because this song is called I Kiss Girls. And I actually,
like girls.
I like girls. And I first saw it because the Foo Fighters, they put it on their Instagram.
Yes.
Do you know those guys? How did that work out? Because that's pretty amazing to get the stamp of approval from that stamp, not stomp.
No, I sing backgrounds for the Foo Fighters. So I've been touring with them for about 2 years, and I just didn't want to be... I'm pretty proud of the music video, and I was like, I'm going to send it to Dave.
Yeah, just send it on over to Dave.
Just throw it his way. And I was actually really scared because... I'm sure people send him stuff
all the time.
Actually, I know they do because I spend a lot of time with him. But he had said something to me, like he knew I was coming out with a record, and he was like, "Well, where's mine?" And I was like, "Okay." But that had just come out with that, so I sent it to him, and he loved it. And he texted me a few hours later, and he was like, "Can I post it?" And he,
oh my god, do you even need to ask? You're Dave Grohl.
I mean, it made me cry a little bit.
That's awesome.
He at this point in my life, he really is the most important straight man in my life.
And yeah.
What came of them him posting it and it you know,
well,
being exposed to so many people?
It was kind of all that matters to me is that Dave likes it, honestly and truly. But there were some funny negative comments like, "Hey, man, we came here for the rock."
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but you know what? Throw in a little lesbian jazz. No one's complaining in my book.
Yeah, and then there was a woman, like, there was a couple women who would, like, weed through all, like, the mean male jokes and be like, "Oh, is your fragile masculinity being threatened right now?"
Hello,
and
2019.
Like, yeah, girl. But if you watch the video, I mean, the video is the sexiest thing ever. It's you in a kitchen with a bunch of girls, and then you out in the backyard with a bunch of girls, and then just saying that you love them a lot. And I mean, as soon as I started watching it, I was like, this is my kind of music video. I love this. And have you always wanted to do jazz? How did you get into jazz specifically? Because, I mean, getting into jazz and being exclusively a jazz singer is something that you don't see very often in, you know, younger people.
Yeah, so when I was little, my parents figured out I could sing. They weren't musicians, and my dad really didn't. He loved jazz. He loved jazz singers, and he didn't want me to listen to the radio. And it didn't matter.
Hey,
because
hey, now you can't say anything. Why? What's wrong?
Well, he didn't want me to listen to pop music. He wanted me to. So he literally, I couldn't even like talk that much, and they called it Japanese Valium because I had a little Sony Walkman, which I still have, and they would put on the headphones, and I would just listen to Billie Holiday tapes, and so I grew up just listening to Billie Holiday. So that sensibility was learned in my body.
I love that.
And when I got, you know, I couldn't really listen to the radio. He just was kind of a Nazi about it, and I just got really into jazz singers, and I just love, and then even like, you know, like Oscar Peterson. I Take Requests. That was the first record I went out and bought at Rockaway Records, which is still in Silver Lake.
So we got to take a quick break.
Well, yeah, but I want to talk about your wife, who's also a musician. Yes. We have to talk about your new album that's dropping today. Yeah. And we need to give everybody a taste of the song, I Like Girls, which we will play after this. So stick around.
Yay. Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
I like girls. I like the girls who lean on lazy chairs on the rolling green. And when they smile at me from under shady hats,
you are listening to the voice of Samantha Sidley. She's here joining us in studio. That is her brand new song from her brand new album. The song is called I Like Girls.
I dare you to listen to that song and not shimmy. I dare you.
And not consider girls, because I hear that. I'm like, maybe girls would be interesting.
Well, maybe you can cover it. I like boys who don't know.
There we go.
Boys.
There we go. Okay.
I see what you did there.
I like boys who really like boys a lot.
don't give me any ideas.
It's just you in a gym. Okay.
Yes.
I just want it to be all in a gym.
Oh my God. Okay. It's happening now.
Yay!
Okay. Her new album is Interior Person. It came out today, and we're really excited to talk to you. Tell us about the inspiration for this song and this video. Other than liking girls.
Well, when my songwriters were writing me a song, we were like, let's write a very direct, you know. I was like, I need a lesbian, just
like an anthem,
sexy anthem, and Barbara and Alex came up with the da 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 da, and they were like,
can you do a little bit more of that? Ali's having the time of her life.
I gotta like bop my shoulders every time. I love it. I gotta get like, I don't know. I want to like do a little lunge with a hat and like you know, kind of thing with my hands. Get a top hat.
Ali, come back.
I'm here.
So, okay. So then the music kind of came and then.
And they were like, what kind of girls do you like? And I was like, all of them. I like them all.
She said, I like girls.
I don't have a preference.
And then you came up with this cool music video. So talk to us about that.
So my friend Nigel DeFries, he's a filmmaker. He's just always been, we've just always been fans of each other. And I asked him to do the music video, and we both wanted it to have like an old Hollywood feel, like Singing in the Rain. Do you guys remember in Singing in the Rain? It's just a short part, but where Debbie Reynolds is dancing. She's still a background dancer girl.
Debbie Reynolds.
And there's a guy, and he's like, beautiful girls, da 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 da. And he's like, this girl wears this outfit to the market. And
I do remember that part.
And we wanted it to look like the Ziegfeld Follies, kind of like that vibe. We tried to make that happen,
but it's still modern, you're all in modern clothes and you're in a modern house and that kind of thing. So it's got that classic feel, but applied to today. That's great.
That's my mom's house.
And how does it feel? Oh, it is?
Yeah. I love it.
And how does it feel to have a new album out today? Is this like, does it have a similar feeling of like, okay, I've been preparing for this for a year, you know, how long have you been working on the album? Does it feel like it's a wedding day? Does it feel like, how are you feeling today on all days that your album is dropping?
It feels like a birthday, or like I like lost my virginity or something.
Oh. Really?
And it was like really good.
Oh. I was going to say, because that could really go either direction, but okay.
Yeah, you know, definitely can go either direction.
And you have a show tomorrow night at the Gardenia on Santa Monica Boulevard. You say you have a tap dancer who will be there as well.
Melinda Sullivan, world famous Melinda Sullivan.
I just love all this. That's going to be amazing. And we're going to tweet out the music video, I Like Girls, so you can watch. And when did you meet your wife? Because she's a musician as well, and you've been together for a while, and you make music together.
We do. I met her through mutual friends, and I heard her music on MySpace, and I totally... She's an incredible musician. Yeah,
so
MySpace.
You can say I met on MySpace?
We really did. Yikes. I sent her a letter that said smitten.
You just said smitten? That's all you said?
And then I said, I wake up every morning, and I listen to you first thing in the morning.
And it was very romantic.
It was really important because my dad had just died. I was severely depressed. I wasn't singing. I wasn't leaving the house. And her music literally got me through.
And what kind of music does she...
Well, at that time, she does everything, but at that time, she was, she had kind of like a rock and roll, like Fleetwood Mac style.
Oh, snap.
Oh, they're so good. Called the Bell Brigade. It's she and her brother, and Ethan Gruska, who's also an incredible musician.
And how long have you two been together? You're married now. How long have you been married? How long have you been together?
We've been together almost like 10 years and a week, and we've been married for
10 years and a week?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And you've been married for seven?
7 years.
See, damn it, I should have gotten married earlier, because I've been together almost 10 years now.
I was going to say, you're coming up on your 10 years.
Our first wedding anniversary is this at the end of this month, and we only have one married year under our belt, and I wish that I had seven by now, because I'm like, I've been together with her for so long, and I feel like if we had just gotten married a little sooner... I'd be in the 7-year itch already.
Hey, nobody's judging.
I know.
No one's rushing you along.
I know. Okay. I just felt, I'm like, oh, I married a year. And everyone's like, oh, great. You know, like we just met or
like
something.
Like you guys are newlyweds or something. You're like, no, we've been working on this.
Yeah. Anyway, you are, that's amazing that she is also a musician. I can't imagine being in the same industry as my wife. It makes me so happy that we're in completely polar opposite industries. But I find that is probably an amazing thing to have, you know, your inspiration and your muse in your house together that you get to cuddle every night. And you're on tour. Are you on tour now with Bird and the Bee, or did that happen already?
We just finished our tour, but next week I leave with the Foo Fighters.
Oh, well,
I'm very excited.
Me too. That's amazing. Well, we wish you all the best. We're so happy to have you. And again, we're going to tweet out I Like Girls so that you can take a look. Highly recommend her music. And her album Interior Person was released today. So you can, where can you find that? Anywhere you can download music?
You can stream, and you can go to releasemerecords.com and order yourself a vinyl or a CD if you want.
A vinyl?
You have a vinyl. Of course you have a vinyl.
Of course.
Why wouldn't
I
you?
Have a vinyl.
Yes, I love that.
I just want to say, because you mentioned the 7-year itch, the dress I'm wearing tomorrow is this. It's by the same designer who designed the white dress. That's what the girl at the store told me, and I'm not going to argue it. I'm just going to accept it.
In the 7-year itch. That's amazing.
Nice.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, Samantha. And we highly encourage everyone to check out lesbian jazz music, because why not?
Also, in the podcast, if you're listening on the podcast version, we're going to make sure to include the links to be able to see the video and find the song online, I Like Girls from Samantha Sidley.
Thank you.
Happy endings coming up. Don't go anywhere. Thank you, studio audience. Thank you very much.
All right. Calm down.
Drop the subject. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q. Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time.
Already?
I know. We say this every week. We must be broken records, but like Fridays fly by because it's only 2 hours. And
don't say broken record, because Biden's going to come on in here and be like, where?
Where?
Fix it.
You blasted kids.
Like, keep it on at night.
Well, you know, sometimes it's nice to end with something to put a smile on our faces.
Yeah, something positive to take into the week.
That's
you know,
right.
To the weekend, I should say.
We like to call this segment Happy Endings. Here's the music. There it is. All right.
See, it's weird, isn't it?
It is weird.
Now you know how I feel.
Exactly. For those of you that don't know what's happening, our whole company across the country, there's some issues with
technical problems.
Technical stuff. So we don't have some of the sounds that we're used to having. So just imagine like heartwarming fairy tale music here and maybe someone moaning in the background.
Yeah, let's get Samantha back in here to just
there we go.
Sing in the background.
Is she in the parking lot?
And be like,
I guess if we both do it, it's not really selling it. Allie, what's your happy ending?
My happy ending is that, sure, Joe Biden kind of made a fool of himself last night at the Democratic debates. He
kind of showed his true colors as a bumbly old man, and he, yes, made reference to listening to the radio, and he said, everyone should be keeping their record players on at night, and everyone was like, what the hell are you talking about? Go home. But on the bright side, it was a ringing endorsement for Samantha Siddeley and her record on vinyl that is coming out today.
Well played.
So maybe people will be having their record player on at night more often for the children, as Joe Biden said.
For the children.
And Samantha Siddeley's record will be playing in homes all across America.
I would say that's a winning happy ending.
Thank you.
Justin. What's your happy ending?
Sure, Jarrett Me Too'd an employee on the air.
Okay,
so at least we have plenty of fill-in hosts to pick from when he's not in on Monday, which he was wrong about earlier, by the way.
What do you mean?
You said, oh, I'll be here Monday.
I am here on Monday.
No, not after you Me Too'd that person.
Oh, well played. Jesus Christ.
Me Too.
I'm now Matt Lauer, apparently.
No.
Make sure that the button that locks the door behind
I
anyone coming into my office. You are complicit.
I think I even fed you the fodder. I was like, do you think he's cute?
Like, I was like, oh, hello, Mr. Bartender. Yikes. Okay. Sure, William Moult seemingly drove into a pond and wasn't found for...
Who the hell is William Moult?
The guy in the car.
Okay. Yeah.
There's too many candidates.
I was going to say,
It's like, what's he giving away?
Exactly, right.
Is he an Asian guy who knows doctors?
How does Marion Williamson feel about him? Sure, William Moult seemingly drove into a pond and wasn't found for 22 years until someone saw the car on Google Maps. But as Justin says, look at the bright side. He didn't have to pay for parking.
You know what? Worth it.
I mean, especially in LA.
Oh, you know what? Every time I cannot find a parking spot, I just think, where is there a pond?
Do you really?
I wish I was Edward Moult right now.
William Moult. William.
William. Damn it.
The man died.
There was a reason why I ghost wrote that one.
Because you did. I know. Oh, no.
There you didn't want credit?
I was going to say, there's a reason I included who wrote this.
Thanks, Matt Lauer.
Oh, no.
We'll see you next week.
Oh, man. Have a good one.